99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Here's a wild what happened about a year ago. The first thing kayaker Adrian Smankus noticed when he was eaten by a whale was all the slime. I spent a second realizing I was inside the mouth of something that maybe it had eaten me. That could have been an orca or a sea monster, according to the 23-year-old.
A sea monster, yes.
He started to think how he might survive inside a humpback whale like Pinocchio. The Venezuelan kayaker had been paddling through the Strait of Magellan off of Chile's Patagonian coast with his father, and he felt something hit him from behind, closing in on me and sinking me. Now, his father, Dell, believe it or not, was able to capture the short-lived ordeal on video.
Was he able to?
He was just meters away. I closed my eyes, and when I opened them again, I realized I was inside a whale's mouth. I felt a slimy texture brush my face, adding that all he could see was dark blue and white. I wondered what I could do if it had swallowed me, since I could no longer fight to stop it. I had to think about what to do next. But within seconds, Adrian started to feel as though he was rising toward the surface. I was a little afraid of whether I would be able to hold my breath because I didn't know how deep I was, and I felt like it took me a long time to actually come up. I went up for 2 seconds. Finally, I got to the surface and realized that it had eaten me, essentially. So, in a nearby kayak, Adrian's father watched on in disbelief. The pair just crossed Eagle Bay. When I turned around, I did not see Adrian. I was worried for a second until I saw him come up out of the sea. Then I saw something, a body, which I immediately interpreted as most likely being a whale because of the size. Dell had fixed a camera to the back of his kayak to record the rising waves. That's what captured his son's remarkable experience.
Okay.
Now, watching the footage back, Adrian was shocked to see just how enormous the whale had actually been. I hadn't seen the moment when the back appears and the fin is visible. I didn't see it. I heard it. That made me nervous. But later with the video, I realized that it actually appeared before me in such a huge size that perhaps if I had seen it, I would have been even more scared than I was.
Yes.
But for Adrian, the experience was not just about survival. He said he felt he had received a second chance when the whale basically decided to spit him out.
Yeah, yeah. Is that insulting?
So it's a good thing he got with a spitter.
Apparently whales have very small esophagi or something like that.
Is there anything in there? Did he meet Jiminy Cricket?
Well, that's what he said. He thought he had a Pinocchio experience. Exactly.
And it?
Yeah. Humpback whales, they say, have narrow throats about the size of a household pipe.
That's why you don't see him doing that stuff.
You know? I'm like a humpback whale.
For just swallowing small fish and shrimps. I figure he probably could not have physically swallowed either the kayak, his body, even the paddle. Ultimately, the whale spit out the kayak because it was physically impossible to swallow, or he would have tried to.
Or he tastes like poo.
That's what I'm thinking.
Our question, what is the story that you're always asked to retell? 206-803-ROCK.
Ah, this guy tastes gross.
Ew. He's like the pee I get in my cup of noodles. It's like, I know it's in my mouth. I'm
you ever like, I don't know, you ever like eating pistachios, you're getting in a rhythm, and then you kind of forget, and like a shell ends up in your mouth?
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's kind of like, just like, yeah, gross.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a pistachio shell.
Yeah, just like that.
Hello, Jay. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So my story, probably about 15 years ago, I was dating a gentleman who overall he was all right. He was a nice guy. He had a stressful job. And at some point, after, you know, a while, I learned that he wasn't always friendly when he was drinking. So we'd been dating a while. Eventually, he proposed to me, and I rejected him. I denied him, and we broke things off. I had, like, for full disclosure, I had told him to slow down, and I asked him not to propose to me. So he made the decision to propose to me on his own.
Now, you say you told him not to propose to you, I'm assuming you guys have been talking about possibly getting married then.
Or he had.
So we had been dating a little over a year, and at some point I ended up, I wouldn't say meeting, I never met her in person, but interacting with his mother, and I did not enjoy it. And I was only 20. And at 20 years old, when you realize that you're just getting to know somebody who maybe has an issue with their alcohol and also their mom is not very nice, that you might be moving too quickly and in over your head. So I told him, I'm not ready to meet your mom in person. Please don't propose to me. So his friend called me and said, he's buying a ring. I want you to reconsider. And I said, he's making a mistake. He should not be doing that. Anyways, on the phone, I said, hey, I'm under the impression that you're kind of just continuing to go about this, and I don't appreciate that, so I'm ending things, which did not turn out well for him. He was pretty upset.
Now, where did he propose to you? Yep. Was this in a public place, or was it in private?
No, it was in private. We, you know, over the phone a couple times, you know, we were dating long distance at that point because of his job. So he had asked me to fly out and meet his family. I'm originally from the, you know, Greater Puget Sound, and he's originally from the South. And he had asked me to fly out and meet his family. And I said, you know, after our last interaction with your mom, I just don't think I'm ready for that. I'd like to spend some more time without your family. And then he, some friends of his had said, this is a really important trip. He plans on proposing, like, you have to go do this. And I was like, no, I don't. In fact, I have the right to not do that.
What was it about his mom that you didn't like?
They were in a very, he was a mama's boy, and that would have been fine, except he had lied to her through me, and I didn't know it. And so when I told her something that I had believed based on something he said to me, she found out that he was lying, and she called me and spoke to me about it as if I was, you know, ruining her son's life and that I had disrespected her. And I felt I was like, I don't even know you.
Yeah,
and
that's
it wasn't
first
my lie. Yeah, red flag for me. Even at 20 years old, red flag.
I'm actually surprised that at 20 years old, like, you pieced all of this together.
No, I think you just
Also, why would you still propose?
It's been 15 years. That's what I said. You know, obviously things were going too quickly, and it wasn't working out. I had given you every sign to slow things down, and you still argued. He called me and said, you know, you told my friends that you don't want to come out and you don't want me to do this. Like, I just don't understand. And I'm like, how do you not understand?
Did you just fall into the ocean or something? What was that weird-ass noise?
Oh, no, I swapped over.
Okay.
Speaker.
So you didn't, you did not end up flying down there?
I did not fly down to him, and what was interesting was when I told my family that he had attempted to propose, and then I cut it off at the pass on the phone, my grandmother told me that I would be alone forever because this would be my only opportunity, and I rejected a nice man.
Yes, at 20. Damn. You can make. Geez, is anyone in the extended family, whether it's his or your, anyone normal?
You know, actually, that is a great question. A couple people in my family and I have been chuckling about it for many years now. My grandma passed away 2 years ago, and since her passing, we have actually talked about it more, as, you know, kind of joking. But she had bought me this. I was an early 90s baby, and she had bought me this Princess Diana wedding bear. And the whole thing was she wanted to give it to me as a wedding present. And when I rejected the proposal, she then told me that I would be alone forever. And she gave me the bear and said, since you're never getting married, I just want you to have this now.
Did you ever? Was she right?
No, I actually got married about 6 months after she passed away.
Okay. Well, just in spite of her.
Yeah.
You know, actually, yes. And I just had a little boy in March, so she missed my wedding and my son.
Wow.
Who buys a wedding gift for somebody that's not even engaged?
But you never heard from this guy again, right?
He didn't bother you either?
Actually, he did. He reached out to me via Instagram through direct messages the night before his wedding, like 6 years later, and told me that I had always been the one, but he wanted me to know that he was going to try to move on. And I was shocked.
Really? Dude, I didn't ask.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not your friend on Instagram.
You came to me and said, like, I want to let you know. You don't let me know anything. I didn't ask. I don't care.
I was like, you know, I honestly don't care. And then it happened again, actually, him and his wife, they got married, and then she got pregnant, and he wrote to me on Instagram to tell me he was having a baby. And I said, over the course of 8 years, I have never once cared. You know, I didn't say that to him, but I'm like, I don't know why you keep writing to me.
Cold. Okay.
Yeah, I'd leave you alone because I'm just getting my feelings hurt. Jeez. And I'm like, geez.
I just had told him, like, hey, congratulations. I want nothing but the best for you. But reality was I didn't care, and I did not know why he was contacting me.
Okay. All
right. That's fair. There's a lot of people like that. Yeah. You're like, hey, man, really, best of luck. And in my head, I'm like, I don't care.
Well, speaking of couples and all that stuff. Right?
I mean, just it sounds mean. And it's not like I do wish you the best. But beyond making that statement, I'm not going to think about it again.
And I think generally that, again, like you might have an ex you're friends with, but generally something that serious, like if you saw him in passing, cool.
Yeah, whatever.
But like, right, you don't need to be staying in touch.
You're going to DM me 6 years later. I want to let you know I'm moving on.
Like, you're the one I was loved.
Cool.
Here's a crazy thing that happened to a Florida couple. They made headlines. Ted, have you seen anything about this story with the IVF embryo mix-up?
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah. You okay. Just need to see the pictures. All right. The
picture is, this is the look on the kid's face is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
And just, you look at the parent. Imagine if, Ted, your parents, there's a baby picture, and you're pretty sure it's me in the picture.
Just put it in an IVF embryo mix-up Florida.
I don't know how you mix
this
up.
They welcomed their daughter, who was not genetically related.
How do you mix that up?
Oh, man.
Did you see the picture?
I would at least, I don't know whose baby this is, but it ain't yours.
Oh, come on. If I was that guy, well, I guess IVF, so he.
Still.
Oh, that's tough. What are they? Sorry. Finish the story. Just like, what are they going to tell that kid?
So it was not, the baby was not genetically related to them in any way. They reached a custody agreement with the daughter's biological parents. Tiffany Score and Stephen Mills sued their IVF clinic last year, months before their names were made public, produced and stored three visible or viable embryos after turning to a fertility clinic in Orlando. So basically, she gave them her eggs, I guess, according to the lawsuit.
I don't think they used them.
Score was allegedly implanted with what she thought was one of those embryos. But on December 11, 2025, when the couple, who are both white, welcomed their daughter, Shay Score Mills, they saw that the baby, for some reason, didn't look like either one of them.
Because the kid's black!
The couple said they...
Oh, hang on, you missed a great quote. Displayed the physical appearance of a racially non-Caucasian child.
I'm just saying.
Like, dude, it's okay. We can just say it's a black kid, and they're like, white. Look,
I don't know whose kid this is, but I know it's not yours. But she carried the thing, right?
Yeah. Well, she said they kind of felt that they had a moral obligation to find her genetic parents.
Whose baby am I?
That by taking the legal action, they hope to begin living more freely and to finally celebrate the one beautiful thing that has come from all of this, which is our daughter. In April, the couple announced that their daughter's biological parents had been identified through genetic testing.
So did they mix up the eggs then?
I think so they mixed up the sperm and the entire kit and caboodle was the wrong one.
So basically, this other the black couple.
Because they're inserting this in IVF.
Right.
So they might bring the spermatozoa and the eggs together in the lab. All right? Once they get that done, but then they take that embryo and they implant it in the woman.
Because that kid ain't mixed. That kid is black.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Well, that's what I'm saying, too. I would think, like...
Wouldn't you know at the moment, like, oh, man, I think we put the wrong egg in you. I'm sure there's a better way to say it. They say, this kid ain't yours.
They say, one thing's absolutely certain is that on the day of our daughter, the day she was born, we will love and be with this child's parents forever. Now, the kid's now 6 months old. Now, court documents obtained by People say the Florida couple reached a mutually devised custody agreement with their daughter's biological parents, whose identity will remain confidential, and them. So while the details of the agreement remain private, the filing says that under the agreement, they would retain the rights to continue as permanent custodial parents of Shay, but Shay would also be able to have a relationship with her genetic parents as well.
But what I'm curious, and I know for privacy reasons I don't go into this, I don't believe, in the article is, if you mix up the eggs and sperm, that means the other couple, obviously, have their eggs and their sperm in the works, too. So I'm wondering if the biological parent had a child of their own.
Right? I don't.
So we had a baby, and then we found out we also had another baby, just another mom carried it.
Well, they're glad that they did go public with this, because they say the details of their IVF experience, the role between the news media helped them bring them to the point of their genetic parents. So they were able to be identified. So any fears they had about the kid not knowing who his real or her real parents were have been settled. Tiffany and Steve are committed to respect the privacy concerns of the genetic parents who have begun and intend to continue a foster relationship of friendship, love, and trust. So the kid basically is going to have two sets of parents growing up.
I mean, look, you're going to love the kid. I get it. But I mean, like, my wife and I, you know, we just had sex. It wasn't IVF or anything. But if we had done that, and my kid's born, I'm still excited. But when they hand me the child and this kid is Asian, there's still the moment that goes to my head and says, babe, like, look, you did the work. You gave, but I'm telling you, this kid is not made for mm-hmm. us.
That's this isn't all. What I ordered.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. You know what I mean? Hey, man, we put it in an order, and we gave you the ingredients, yes. and then you mix the ingredients, and my wife will bake it in the oven, and we pull it out, and it's like, this is ciabatta bread. We wanted a quiche. You know, just like I'm still going to love the kid, but I'm just saying, like, the first couple of minutes, you have to be like, what in the F?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, just.
Yeah. But whatever, I mean, that daughter's going to get older, and like, her hair is going to be different. Like, what is that mom going to help her with?
Well, the court document.
First of all, mom's going to learn don't touch her hair. And but I mean,
those are just awkward conversations.
Like, mom, can you do my hair? Mom's going to be like, no, I have no idea what to do with this.
So the court document went on to state that Score Mills have secured another clinic for the treatment and storage of the remaining embryos.
Okay,
so they got those out of there from the fertility center of Orlando.
Make sure they got the right ones,
and they put them to a different location. They said that that embryo will be tested for parentage, and then the plaintiffs can determine the next step if they ever want to have another child. However, in April, the Fertility Center of Orlando announced it was closing.
You don't say.
And that another clinic would open in the same facility with a different name.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
would you give it a go again?
You know, it's, man.
With IVF. It is what it is, but you're just kind of like, man, are we going to go through this again? Because I don't want to spend 9 months wondering if they're going to get it right or not.
Well, I know for a fact, just based on some friends of mine, that those treatments can be as much as $20,000 a session.
It's super expensive.
And you might need to go through 3 or 4 of those before
one
is actually successful. So, you know, you're looking at possibly $80,000 to $100,000. And do you have enough embryos to keep being able to insert another one? Into the mom.
How much did a black baby cost you?
Because look, the woman needs to take shots every day.
Right.
Like, there's all these different things that need to happen, which is not fun, from what I understand, for that party, and is incredibly expensive. And then you have the heartbreak of it.
Is there any part of pregnancy that women like?
Well, you just basically have the heartbreak.
Get it out of me.
The heartbreak of it not taking every time if it doesn't.
And then when it does.
So it's almost like if your body rejects it. You know, sure. There's probably a reason for that. Sometimes good. Maybe the baby wouldn't have been healthy or whatever. But if it doesn't take, it doesn't take. And then you got to start the entire process again.
And then you end up with the wrong kid.
And now you're out 80 grand or 100 grand. We're, you know.
I mean, they got a kid. They did.
Yes, they did.
Damn. Really, guys? I'm just saying, the moment she gave birth, I mean, like, there's been a mix-up. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Like, take a look at your daughter. Like, oh, I get it. Right? There's no question about this. I don't know where it went wrong, but something went wrong.
Good times. So our question, what is the story that you are always asked to retell? 206-803-ROCK.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KISW and KISW-HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Who sucks less? All the way at 4:30 right after emails on our question, what is the story that you are always asked to retell? 206-803-ROCK. Now, this guy, he has not necessarily told his story yet.
Okay.
But he will, because he doesn't have an arm anymore.
Okay, that's the story.
So, you know, I mean, it's kind of tough. I've been in that situation before where someone does not have a leg from the knee down or whatever the deal is. Mm-hmm. Always kind of want to ask, you know, like what happened or whatever. Somebody with a fake eye, or, you know, you're kind of just curious of how this came about.
But you don't know how to broach it.
That's the tough part.
I mean, you have to ask directly.
Do you? I don't know. If somebody's an amputee and walking around, like if I'm just sitting next to them at a bar, I don't know that I'm going to ask.
I'm not going to, but I'm still thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you're
wondering.
Yeah. Like, what happened?
And they know you are.
Yeah. ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller says he's lucky to be alive after a crash in rural Missouri that cost him his left arm. This past Tuesday, the 42-year-old wrote on X, he underwent a life-saving amputation.
All right.
And suffered multiple fractures and broken bones in a June 17th collision in Jasper County. I'm deeply grateful for the exceptional care I've received from the first responders to the doctors, nurses, and medical staff. I'm incredibly fortunate to even be writing this. So I'm assuming, well, it's on X, so he didn't write it with a pen.
Yeah.
According to a Missouri accident report.
He said he's supposed to be right-handed.
Yeah. Miller's 2023 Ford Bronco crossed the center line on State Route 96 and hit a semi.
Ooh.
Now, the truck's 28-year-old driver was not injured. Miller, who is a Missouri native and father of two, he's been with ESPN since 2021 and was airlifted to a Joplin hospital. I believe the show used to be on in Joplin,
Missouri. Joplin, Missouri. Yeah, we were on there for a while.
Says, well, I have a long road ahead. I'm focused on my recovery and taking things one day at a time. Thank you for the overwhelming support, prayers, and kind messages. They meant so much to my family and myself at this time. Look forward to continuing my recovery, getting back to ESPN to talk football, including what should be an exciting 2027 NFL draft class.
He's already back at work, basically.
We don't know if he knows what happened. We don't know if he was conscious during the incident.
I'm going to guess not, just because it's a semi.
Might be one of those things where just, man, I woke up and I was in the hospital.
And my arm was gone.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the more chilling thing. I mean, it's one thing if, like, nobody wants to hear amputation, but it's one thing.
You did.
But I don't remember hearing it. So in my case, I had cut an artery, tripping up a stair, going through the big glass door in front of my apartment building. Anyway, went through the glass. When I pulled my arm out, that's when it cut. And it didn't hurt, but somehow you just know something's wrong. And I'm left-handed, so instinctively my right hand went over my arm, and it still didn't hurt, but I peek to see what the damage is. Well, it hit an artery. And it's just like the movies, man. When an artery shoots blood, it is unbelievable. These are 13-foot ceilings in this vestibule. And I moved my hand, and I remember, like, it splashed off of the ceiling. And then in that moment, started feeling weak, and I'm like, I think you need to call 911. Lucky for me, the people around me figured out I was probably going to say 911. I believe I got 911 out. Wake up in the back of the ambulance for a minute, because my body's bouncing up and down because you're freezing cold because you've lost so much blood. But the guy that's in the back with me, all I remember is that he had quite the womb room, man. He had the biggest freaking mustache. Anyway, so he's attending to me, but he's screaming at the driver to go faster because as he perceives it, I'm going into shock. Maybe I was, but I will tell you, you're very lucid in that moment because my body's bouncing up and down on the gurney. So he's doing all this other crap, and he's not listening to me. I just keep saying, put the blanket on me. Because I can see the wool blanket was over his right shoulder. So I'm like, put the blanket on me. And as soon as he put it on, like I warmed up, my body stopped shaking. I fell back asleep. Now, my perspective is, I remember waking up in the hospital room. My parents are there. And I thought it was a couple hours later. They explained, because I said, somebody needs to call work and let them know I'm going to be late. And everyone chuckled. And they're like, we called your job yesterday. I'm like, what? They're like, dude, you've been there for like 36 hours. That's a weird thing. I just, right, the day's just gone. But anyway, according to the doctor, and I don't remember this part, but they're bringing my ass in. I'm on the stretcher, and they're yelling whatever they got to yell, but they're going to take me straight into surgery. I did not have insurance at the time, so, you know, they're going to cut costs, as it were. So I guess the doctor was like, hey, man, we're going to have to amputate his left arm. And the doctor said, you'd been out cold. It's like, your eyes popped open. You grabbed me by my collar and pulled me like forehead to forehead and told him, I am effing left-handed. Do not cut off my arm. I don't remember this. That is what the doctor said. Anyway, I wake up, still have my left arm. But as the doctor's telling me that, I'm like, you were going to amputate my arm? And that's when he explained. He goes, the only reason we didn't, he said, you woke up in that moment. He's like, I don't know how you heard that. But he's like, you heard that and told me specifically that you're left-handed. So he goes, we kind of readdressed the situation and did a different surgery than we were going to. But he goes, yeah, initially, we were going to cut it off. Because the surgery we had to do to kind of repair you, it's just a little trickier.
Right.
Whatever. And what he wanted to say is, and you're uninsured. But yeah, he was like, we're going to cut your arm off. And that just hit me. Because you're laying, and yes, I still have my arm, but I'm laying in the hospital just like, what would go through my mind if I woke up? Keep in mind, the last thing I remember, honestly, is being in the ambulance, saying that one thing to the guy with the big-ass mustache, and then nothing. If I had not woken up or whatever I did in that moment, I can't imagine waking up and like, hey, man, your arm's gone. We had to take it off. And you don't know why. And you can't remember. That's, I don't know. That still freaks me out to this day.
I bet it does.
I can't imagine anyone.
I mean, even for somebody like me that's right-handed, like waking up without a left arm.
Yeah, whether you're left or right-handed.
But I'm saying, in your defense, I can imagine, too, like that being your dominant arm. That would be crushing.
Well, even if you did get it amputated, I wouldn't want to know ahead of time. So I would rather be knocked out.
You wouldn't want to know?
Unconscious for 36 hours. Wake up, I'm missing my foot, I'm missing my leg, I'm missing my arm. I would not want to know going in. Let's just say that I had some.
Let's just say I had
an infection or something, right? They said, hey, look, we're going to evaluate it, but there's a good chance in 2 or 3 days we're going to have to cut your leg off. I would be constantly thinking,
about that scenario.
I hear you, so, but man, I'm telling you.
I think it'd just
you.
Be easier to wake up and it's gone, and there's nothing I can do about it.
I mean, know? It's easier in the yeah. sense of it ain't a whole lot of thought, but I would rather know. Because like I said, just hearing it and waking up in both my limbs, I'm still just like, oh my God. I mean, I could not wrap my head around the idea of not knowing in advance. My wife's aunt, so she has a prosthetic leg. And she'll straight up tell you. She was like, oh, yeah, like 20 years ago, I guess she got diagnosed with some kind of cancer. It's like bone cancer, maybe, right? Something pretty aggressive. And so the doctors, as she explains it, because she is straight up about it, man. They ran through all these different things they could do. It's kind of, she was like, take it off. They're like, well, you know, there's other treatments we can do. She's like, take my damn leg off. She goes, if you take it from the knee down, if you take my leg off, will that end the cancer risk? They're like, well, yeah, because you don't have to, she's like, get rid of it. So not that her leg was perfectly healthy. That's not, but she made the choice, and it's not like they offered it on the table, as she says. She's like, I listened to everything they had to say. It's 20 minutes of all these treatments you can't pronounce and pills you can take and radiation and this, that, and the other. And it sounded horrible. And she's like, I can die going through this treatment. You can cut off my leg, and I'm not going to die. So like, take the damn leg, man.
Right.
Like, wow. So it wasn't an accident. And she's like, yeah, I told them, let's cut it off. And they're like, man, that's it. She's like, no. And their whole point was, man, you realize we do that as a last resort. And she's like, right, if you start there, we got no more problems.
You guys were, damn. You guys were. I would say, too, Miles, you said about knowing about it. Like, I knew somebody that, right, type 2, and they knew it. But, I mean, the time leading up to it was very depressing.
That's what I'm saying. I'd almost just rather wake up.
Oh, you're on the other side. All right, I see,
He just wants to wake up.
I just want to wake up and, like, there's nothing I can think about.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
Yeah.
Would you rather not know?
No.
I'm thinking about it more than Miles said, and I'm just thinking about this one person. Like, oh, that was really hard on them.
How long did they know before,
Hey, 2 or 3 months.
Oh,
and I think they, like, you know, you get a prosthetic.
Well, you keep looking at whatever's going to be gone.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, how am I going to do these things? Because you start thinking consciously, like, well, if I don't have this arm, I'll start practicing without it. What can I do? What can I not do?
Yeah.
What is going to be a problem? You know, just in day-to-day life.
Yeah.
I think that would just be a mental, you know, mind F.
But, I don't know because I've never, but I just feel like if I wake up and it's gone, that mind F for me is even harder.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, let's hope not to lose a body part.
This is quick, but you guys were at my wedding. It was pouring down rain. It was a thunder shower.
Yeah. Lighting,
okay? Yeah. That was my second wedding. That was my second wife. The story that I told at my first wedding, rehearsal dinner, night before the wedding, that kind of thing. We're at the Molly Pitcher Inn in New Jersey. And everyone's just sharing personal stories, family members about their favorite memories.
Of course.
Both sides of the families, all that. So I get up there and somebody yells out who knows the story. Hey, tell them about how the day you met your wife. And I'm like, all right. So I go play golf with my buddies. We're on the 9th hole. It starts pouring down rain, lightning storm, one of those yellow storms that pops up. It's not dark or anything like that. It's just that bright lightning. Go under a tree, standing on the tree gets hit by lightning. We're all on the ground. We all get knocked out for a little while. My one buddy who had metal spikes on his shoes at the time, golf shoes, he took it the worst.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Our shoes bottoms were fried too. Wake up, tree is still on fire. The branch that fell off that thing when it split the tree, missed my buddy Rob by like 3 feet. And it was a big ass. It was like it split the tree in half.
Yeah.
Tree's on fire. Wake up, I sit up. There's a bunch of cars that could see us from the clubhouse because, again, it's number 9 and we were down at the bottom of the hill and it overlooked this fairway. And so people saw us get hit. They saw the tree get hit and they saw us fly back and all that crap. So my one buddy, Rob, he was pretty messed up. So his parents came and took him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Now, me and my other buddy, Brian, we decided to go to the bar because we're like, F this. It is Sunday. We're going to go to the bar. We're going to start drinking. We're going to go to Mario's back door. We're going to eat pizza. It was a pizza place. And we're going to be there for the 1 o'clock NFL kickoff.
Yeah.
We're just going to the bar. F this. We told Rob's parents, you know, call Brian's mom or whoever and make sure he's okay. And
sure.
Just get in contact with us. Anyway, everything's fine except for the fact that there's a woman at the other side of the bar. My buddy Brian starts hitting on her. He goes to the bathroom. We start talking. That ends up being my wife. So the day that I get hit by lightning is the day that I met my first wife.
Now, there's nothing telling about that.
Now, fast forward. Now, I am divorced. I am getting remarried. I am in Baltimore. The ceremony is just about ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, one of the biggest lightning storms that we've had all summer.
Boom!
I mean, I'm just sitting there. And, you know, psychologically, I'm thinking to myself, you have got to be kidding me. You right. have got to be kidding me. This is not a good sign. This is a horrible sign. But I can't say that because I'm getting married.
Right.
You know what I mean?
In like 10 minutes.
But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking,
yeah,
Jesus, man, the day that I got struck by lightning, I met my first wife. Now it's lightning again. On my
I'm trying to tell you something, Miles.
That's exactly what was going through my head. Just like, oh, there's no way. Oh, there's no way. Like, what is going on? Like,
oh, yeah.
So
it's biblical. Don't get married.
What is the story that you always you're always asked to retell?
What do I have to do for you to understand?
You're telling the story, so I don't feel bad about joking about it now. But I mean, it almost seemed as soon as you said, like, the I do's, like, it was like, pop out. Yeah.
God's like,
why do this? They look the same. You have a type. We get it.
Exactly.
Right, stop like, doing this.
Damn. Such a moron. What is the story that you're always asked to retell? 206-803-ROCK.
Right. I mean, you get married a third time. She's got to look different.
I'm not doing
it. Got to look different.
But it really was. Do you? I do.
Yeah.
Wow. Man.
It is coming down out there.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And it was all night through the reception. Just boom, 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 boom. I'm just like, man.
I'm trying to tell you something.
I mean, look, also, let's take out that it's a sign from God or something. It's also just, what was that, July?
It was so hot. Yeah.
Or August in Baltimore. It was so hot that day.
And humid.
You're going to hell.
Yeah. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola.
Hola, bitches. So I lost my right leg 5 years ago next month will be 5 years due to diabetes.
Diabetes.
And infection. Yeah.
Diabetes or the infection? I'm sure the diabetes led to the infection, but is the infection inevitably what led to the amputation?
You're correct. Yes, I lost it because the infection got into my ankle bone. And doing everything I can to save my left foot right now that's already got a titanium plate in it and a fracture.
Okay. Jesus Christ. So, all right, let me ask you this. I'm assuming you knew the amputation. It was a scheduled thing, right?
It was.
All right, so Miles has an argument I wouldn't want to know. I have an argument I would rather know. Based on having gone through it, where are you? Would you have rather just woken up and it was gone, or are you glad you knew in advance?
I like that I knew in advance because I knew it was going to be gone when I woke up. It would be a lot harder, say, if you lost it in the military or whatever, or a car accident, and it's all of a sudden. So dealing with different amputees, and Ted, yes, I love to tell my story. Anytime I run into you, I'll tell my story.
All right.
Let me just ask, and I'm not trying to minimize the fact that you got your leg amputated, are people disappointed when you share your story, right? Because if you say it was ripped off by a gorilla, it was bitten by a shark, we're like, whoa, when you're like, dude, diabetes and an infection.
Yeah, well, I start with either a shark bite story or a gorilla story, then I move into actually diabetes.
Okay. Now, when you say you got an infection, that was on the inside. You really didn't know what was going on. It wasn't like you cut your leg or something, and then, you know, it just spread, right?
Right, correct. So I have neuropathy because of my diabetes in both my feet. Can't feel anything below the ankle.
Huh.
So that pressure sores and all that crap started happening, and literally the infection had set into the foot bone, and I became septic on our vacation before I lost my right leg.
Wow.
Oh.
You're like the doctor from The Simpsons who chuckles after giving bad
now,
news.
Now, if you have jeans on, do I have any idea that you don't have a leg from the knee down?
At this point, you would not know because it's been 5 years. So if I have any sort of jeans or slacks or anything on, you would not know that I'm a right leg amputee.
So your walking is fine. Is what I mean.
Oh, my walking's great.
How many different prosthetics do you have?
I have a vehicle. So I've gone through 5 different prosthetics in the last 5 years. And the one I got now is the greatest. It's only 4.5 pounds, and it's all carbon fiber, and I could run, hike, fish, hunt.
You could, but do you?
That's my plan eventually.
Yeah.
My Harley.
When you have my Harley
and start riding it again. What's up?
When you have an amputated leg, does that count? Like, do you have like handicap tags?
Oh yeah, the handicap tags on my license plate. Yeah.
All right, so you could walk fine.
My first,
Like, does anybody ever see you get out of your car?
Yeah, people see me get out of my car. And a lot of times I'm mostly wearing shorts because I'm all year round short guy in the Northwest. Right.
Well, only one leg is going to get cold.
Okay, so no one like called you out like, hey, dude, get out of the handicap
spot. Yeah, you're walking fine, dude. What's with the handicap spot?
That's not a problem. Okay, all I got to do is lift up my pants if I'm wearing pants. Do I qualify?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I would put my head down and walk
now,
away.
Now, does your prosthetic look like a prosthetic or does it look like a leg? Because a buddy of mine, when we were roommates, you used to share a bedroom, right? First place we got together, and he was dating this woman named Diane, who was very cool, very sweet, but her prosthetic leg looked like a human leg. So I did not know. I knew she had a bit of a limp, but I did not know that she had an artificial leg until I went to bed one night, opened her bedroom door. They're laying in their bed together, and on the floor, I just see a human leg, and I about S myself.
Yeah, so you can have it look like a human leg. Mine's like the big springy ones that you see the guys running on.
Okay. And so how much did that cost?
You can also, so it costs the insurance $18,000 every 5 years when I want a new leg.
I want a new leg.
Exactly.
Want a ball, maybe trip.
I work for a big commercial airplane company in this state, if you know what I mean.
No.
We have no idea.
Airbus?
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
All right. Wow. All right.
What is a story that you're always asked to retell? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Phil. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
All right, guys. I graduated from WSU back in the 80s. I go back every year for at least a couple of football games. So a couple of years ago, my wife and I went. We're sitting in the stands. And before the game, two guys in their 40s got in the seats right behind us. They obviously were exceptionally intoxicated, but they were very nice, you know, so I just kind of looked over my right shoulder talking to them a couple of times. Well, after every big Cougar play, the guy sitting behind me, he'd pat me on the right shoulder. And as the first half went on, his pats became grips, and they got his grips got progressively harder. And after a pick six right before halftime, he slams his hand on my right shoulder and he grips down so hard it hurt unbelievably. And so I looked over my right shoulder and I go, hey. So he was very remorseful, very sorry. So halftime comes. I didn't want any hard feelings, so I turn around and, you know, we had a nice chat. Well, you know why the guy was so strong?
No.
I hadn't seen him come in. He only had one arm.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Surprise.
Yeah. Well, at least you know he wasn't double-fisted before the game.
That's a good point. Sir, one beer at a time. I know.
Jesus.
I have no choice.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. Hey, that still doesn't excuse why he's gripping on you.
Well, one, you're drunk. And like you said, that arm is going to be so much stronger than it probably would have been if you had two.
Yeah.
I think that was, and as you get drunk, you know, mm-hmm. You don't disperse your weight quite as well as you should.
Who Sucks Less is coming up, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.